Hello and welcome to episode 63 of the Blind Bargains Cast. That guy over there is JJ and I am Joe, and we are back again to give you information that is relevant and somewhat timely.
Over there. Over here.
Yeah.
You know, we get comments, and this is just because of Patrick's, and I will use the word amazing, even though, you know, because I think it's a proper context. Amazing, I get comments all the time that people think that we're in the same room.
But, you know, actually in September, we celebrate doing 6 years of this crap together.
It's amazing. But no, we've never done a podcast from the same room together.
No, I've done it with others that we've had on the show. But you and I, no. And we were trying to do that this year. We actually were trying to attempt to do something very much like that this year. But I don't know how cards, tarot, or otherwise work out for that. But being able to do this on a regular basis and kind of have that banter back and forth, that's why it feels like we're in the same room. It really does. And then if you want to, you can pretend that. No one's going to say anything.
You know, and again, I blame Patrick. He does make it sound a little smoother.
He is incredible. The audio master himself.
It's good stuff.
It's a talent.
He also makes our interview sound good. It's going to be coming up a little bit later in the show. It's Mark Jeffrey from a company called Guardian Circle. Now, we had a company on a few months ago talking about alternatives to 911. Well, this is a little bit different. This is, how do you contact your friends? Say you're in a situation where you need to get something done, such as you're out on a date and you feel uncomfortable, or you need to get a ride home for your kid from school. And instead of calling 8 different people, you know, and going 1-1-1, you know, this is a little quicker way to do it. And that's this Guardian Circle app. And we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. He'll explain it better than I did.
You will hear the mention of a term called Google Circles. That was not something that was mentioned very often over at Google I.O. There are audio and video clippies of all of those sessions over at I.O., and we have a link to that over at Blind Bargains.
All. I mean, before it would be maybe 10 or 20. There are, with no homage to Twitter, there's 140 different sessions.
Man,
so every single you could spend the next 2 or 3 weeks watching Google I.O. presentation. I mean, be sure to squeeze in our next podcast if you do that. But, you know, you can watch it. There are 3 accessibility sessions. The What's New in Android Accessibility, which we mentioned for a second last week. One on Chrome and one that they've done before on how to make your app accessible. I mean, again, these are mostly for developers and they're going to be geeky and techy and everything. But you can watch as much Google as your little mind can handle. And yes, we've linked to it over.
Nimer was there. Did you see his check-ins at the Googleplex?
No. I mean, you know what? That's right. I'm jealous, except I got more free stuff than you did.
I was about to say, that was the one thing he was talking about, where people were upset that there wasn't enough swag at this particular show. Well, if you were into VR,
most of the swag they gave out just went away. I mean, they just discontinued the Nexus player.
Can you believe that? I mean, here we were talking right about that last week during our I.O. wrap-up, and boop, there it goes.
Well, just mentioned it.
You know, we mentioned traveling a lot, and traveling to convention is one of those things that we mention until after July 15th. There will be some travel that you can already start to get together because ACB pre-registration has already begun.
And Google's going to be there apparently too. I mean, I'm guessing they're going to be at both the conventions. So as registration season goes, so if you want to do NFB, NFB ends May 31st for pre-registration and ACB starts now. So they kind of do different formats for things, and definitely a contrast in the forms too. ACB, there's a lot of events that you have to pay for in addition to registration, but at any rate, it all starts now, and you can go to the ACB convention website and you can do that. So by the way, while we're here, the plans from the AT guys circle is we're going to be in the exhibit hall in NFB, and we'll have a booth or two, a couple tables, and we'll have all our stuff there. For ACB, it's all the same time, so we can't be in two places at once. But we're going to show up, and we're going to do a couple AT guys product demonstration sessions on Thursday of the ACB convention. So I'll be there. And like Joe said, we're going to do a blind bargains thing. And I think it actually might even say that in the agenda, but it may end up being just blind bargains with just me and anybody else.
It all depends how things work out.
Maybe I'll wrangle up some people.
My flight is the day after. I can't remember. It's just all.
Yeah. You know what? We'll wrangle up some other people to hang out with during that session. That's kind of more of an assistive technology Q&A. Those are both free sessions. Those are on Thursday at ACB. And like I said, the booth at NFB. And either way, go register for convention, because if you register, you save a little bit of money versus doing it on site. So
I actually will be on site in Minnesota starting July 2nd. So if there's an event that you think we should cover, or if you would just like to say hi, there is a lot of opportunities there because I will be there until Jay probably arrives. And then we've got lots
of meet you at the airport.
I know, pretty much. It's going to be passing ships in the night.
We could have a meal together at Certix Flights in Minneapolis.
There you go. So if you got any ideas, send them on through feedback@blindbargains.com. Now, we've mentioned a lot about travel and training and all that fun stuff, but a mock election, we could actually make decisions about where we go and what we do with voting machines. Tell me a little bit about this particular article that we have up at Blind Bargains.
Yeah, sure. So this I thought was really interesting because I wrote it. Yeah, I thought it was a really boring article that I wrote. Yeah.
I've done a couple of those.
So this is happening in my state, Michigan, but it's happening in lots of other places too. So when the original Help America Vote Act came out about 10 years ago, all the states bought voting machines because they had to. And they had various degrees of accessibility, and you know, some worked better than others. Many of those are now reaching end of life, meaning that the states now need to replace them in some sort of way. So that's happening here in Michigan. And they very nicely, which I think is what they should do, they gave constituents the chance to try out the three that they were considering buying to get feedback. And there were three different voting machines there. And let me tell you, they ranged from really good to, oh my God, I would never vote on this thing ever.
Dangling chads, are they?
So let me start with the bag. I don't want to end it. It's two buttons and a dial, you know, and that's a really simplistic interface, and I can live with that. The problem is lag. So I would flip dial, say I would flip it now, 1, 2, 3, and then it would say, you've seen bad lag before on devices. I have never seen lag as bad as what I was seeing on that particular device. 3 to 4 seconds in some situations where you would turn the dial and it would take it that long for it to figure out what the heck was going on. Absolutely ridiculous.
Was it the pre-recorded voices one? Like
yes.
Somebody had recorded the names of each one of the judges or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that one has pre-recorded voices. And that one has pre-recorded voices, which also, you know, you're kind of up to the whims of the county clerk and the microphone they're using.
Yep.
And that creates problems. There's no good way. It's the only one that didn't have buttons to turn on and off or to adjust the speed. And even if you could adjust the speed, it went to normal and slightly faster. And that's about it. There were two others. The best of them is a company from called ESNS. And that's what was the AutoMark. Anyone who's used the AutoMark, which was a voting machine that used Eloquence back in the day, that to me is still the best one. So it has a 5-way navigational pad, the arrows, and then a select button. And you go up and down arrow to select your item, yes or no, or the name of a representative. You press select to select it and right arrow to the next contest. Very simple. And then there's volume buttons, there's tone buttons, or you know, tempo buttons. You can go as fast as you want. You can go really, really fast. You can turn the screen off, and it's all paper ballot and everything. So that's the one to, you know, well, now I just ruined the end of the article, but that's the one I recommended by far because it, you know, it has a clean interface. I voted on that thing in about 5 minutes where it took me maybe 20 to 30 on any of the others.
With the dial one. Yeah, no, I've used the dial one before. And yeah, it can be, especially if you need to go back and check something. Oh, man, is it arduous.
Gosh.
It is just, oh.
Yeah, I mean, some of these machines, you know, one of them, I noted it took on Dominion. It took me just to change my vote from yes to no. It was no less than 9 or 10 different button presses.
Yikes.
You know, I was on the review screen. I selected the contest and it took me back to the contest screen. I had to arrow down to the new option or I had to unselect the old option and select the new option. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Been there. The more fun part of that is to actually watch them scramble to realize that they have to come up with headphones if you didn't bring any.
Well, that too. I mean, yeah. And that's the other thing. These other two machines had these weird setup processes. One, you had to insert a card and do a bunch of steps.
Uh-huh.
One, you had to enter a code. Your average voting worker is 85.
Correct.
They're nice people.
Yes.
They don't know technology.
Correct.
And, you know, at least with the AutoMark, you just put the piece of paper in and that's all you have to do. And it's all set up. Where these others, it's like, man, I had a whole huddle of workers.
Spin around 3 times, then touch your nose with your tongue.
And I had a whole huddle of Alexa workers just trying to figure out how to set this thing up. You know, and I was not the first person of the day. And they were still trying to think.
I thought I would make life easier by going to the county seat in the county that I was in, because I was thinking certainly there must be a captain or someone in charge that would know how to. No. And it was like, oh no, he's coming in with a cane.
Well, you're not even able to do this.
You know,
you're able to do that because here you have to go to your precinct. So every precinct needs to have a machine, and every precinct needs to know how to.
I lived in the area where that was, so I was lucky. And you know, a small town in Texas, you know, there serves a large area. In Austin, no, I didn't. In Austin, but it was oddly enough, it was the same blinking machine that I had in South Texas, and the same situation. So I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's really interesting. I guess we've come a long way from what were the ones that used to get hacked all the time. D-Bolts, I think, was the one that.
They're not in business anymore. I'm not sure.
No, that's
well, you know, and that's the thing. There's just a huge variance in voting machines. So I bring this up just to say, hey, you might want to see what your state is doing. If they're in the process of replacing your existing machines, definitely figure out. You check with your local consumer advocacy organizations. They may know what's going on. If not, contact your local county clerk.
And
figure out what's going on, because they're not going to know unless other blind people are telling them, you know, what works and what doesn't. And we are definitely, the NFB of Michigan is submitting a recommendation based on our feedback.
Well, you might actually take a bus to get there. And to do that, you might use a GPS app to help you find various places. Perkins has a new app that they're doing with Raise Labs. Raise Labs, we've interviewed them before.
Yeah, wow, really?
Uh-huh.
What are they doing? What do they do?
I think we worked with Raise Labs back on Android Show. I think we had them on at one point.
Maybe. I don't. You might be right. I was trying to figure out what they did.
I would have to look at old show notes the name just jumped out.
How prepared we are. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Sorry, they were a sponsor for one episode, I think.
Yeah, they were. They were actually a sponsor for an episode. So, yeah, I do remember this.
They've been around for a minute, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the app. You almost remember what was going on, but you know, it was the last mile problem, the last inch problem, like trying to get there.
I'm going to throw back to 6 years of podcast episodes. I can't remember them all. It just, you know, yes, the last mile is a term you would hear in cable. Like build a digital cable to your house. You're going to build a house.
And then it became Uber.
Uh-huh. And then you want
Uber stole that term.
Last bit to get into the house. Because, you know, the telephone company would roll it all the way up to the street, but they wouldn't roll it into your house.
Well, now it's a last inch problem. So if you're coming here and someone says, yeah, there's a bus stop on the corner of Westridge and Millam Road, then, okay, that's great. There's four sides of that corner. And then, you know, is it right on the corner? Is it 50 feet off the corner? So this app hopes to solve that problem. They got $750,000 from Google. So good on them for that, from one of those Google Impact grants. They're looking to perhaps crowdsource information, maybe get people to enter in a sort of even like a game, something like that. But to say, hey, put in some identifying landmarks so to help someone who is blind identify this bus stop or other events. And, you know, we already got a comment from Dark Nexus about this, but, you know, I'm not so sure if this is going to work. And, you know, it's going to be based on the information that comes in. Well, that's why this is research grant money, to see, can they make this work? Can they get enough other people? If Be My Eyes can get 100,000 volunteers, these guys can get a few hundred people to put in some information, you know, a couple here and there.
So a couple months ago, I joined local guides on Google Maps, and the local guide program takes quote unquote ambassadors of a city. And as you travel around, Google Maps will ask you questions about where you've gone, like a restaurant. And it'll say, does this have accessible entryways? You know, is this a place you can bring your dog?
I've noticed that.
Yeah.
You know, so, in fact, I think he was even asking me that without even enrolling in anything. They're just kind of popping that up now.
I've been enrolled in the local guides thing. And a couple months ago, that was kind of a thing. And then in my contributions, it actually shows me my level of local guide, how much interaction I've had and questions that you can answer. They can actually prompt people through Google Maps and the Google Maps community. And I point to Waze as a perfect example of how community works with mapping technology. And so you could do something like this if that brand of person that you are aiming for takes public you know, commuting. And depending on your city, that might be more popular with some smartphone advocates than others.
Yeah, you know, just kind of like, hey, you ride the bus, you know, this, you know, is this a shelter or is this a sign or is right. this a...
And it can always show up through Google Now cards too at some point. Maybe mm-hmm. it goes beyond, like you were saying, you're running into those questions when I was doing them in the beta. Maybe it comes down to Google Now, or you get something in your notification. Can you answer some quick questions? I see you're riding the bus, or you've changed your map preferences to public transportation.
Yeah, and so much of it is kind of there's so much data out there, and a lot of times cities already have it and other things like that. So it's all about integration. And,
agreed. So it's a possibility. I don't disagree, but it's
oh no, yeah. Look at GPS apps 15 years ago, and they basically had street information and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And now you have pretty much every business where the actual doorway is to the business. You know a lot more about the types of different streets that you're on. You know, there's a lot more information that's been kind of inputted in over time. Yeah. So
I was actually at a local tavern last Friday, and Google Now said, is this the business you're at? Just double checking, you know, and he told it yes. And it like changed everything over to, yep, I know where you are. And this is what you were. And this was the last time you were here. And this is what you rated it. And things like that. So
we have informed the NSA of your arrival.
Yeah. Well, again, we had this conversation last week. It all depends on who you want to have and where. I know. Why.
Get a little cynical, but I think for a reason. You know what? With Google or something, you could dictate where you're going.
That's certainly true. I could actually dictate right to Google Now.
You could also dictate on your computer. You can actually now dictate with a prototype of Dictation Bridge, which we've talked about a couple of times. They're a bit off their goal with about a month to go. So they've done a couple of things to try to help people along. One is they posted a thing on their crowdfunding page of this is what will happen if we reach this amount. And they're pretty much saying if we reach at least 7,500, we will do something, as in we'll do the NVDA add-on and some basic stuff. And then if we get more money, we'll do Dragon and Window Eyes and Jaws and things like that. But they also posted a bit of a prototype, which at least does some basic stuff. I haven't tried it out yet, but it at least something that you can download to see if this is something that you would like to see developed further from the Dictation Bridge people. And their crowdfunding campaign is still going on for another three or four weeks.
I think another month by the time of this recording. It's less than a month. So probably by the time you hear this,
it'll depends be when you're listening. Yes,
way less than a month. So definitely, if you are interested, you want to get involved as soon as you can, because in any crowdfunding campaign, the sooner the better. And I know they were close to their first goal.
Yeah, they were right around $6,000 when I looked today.
So they were getting closer. What is getting much closer is the ability for those of us to do all sorts of things in finance accessibly. I've heard of Robinhood before, via Forbes magazine and others. It seems like a startup is making this work a little bit better for those of us who want to be able to lose our shirts in the stock market on iOS.
You know what? So here's the interesting thing about this. Well, one of the, to me at least, Robinhood is a stock trading app. And on Global Accessibility Awareness Day, which was last week, they announced a bunch of accessibility features. They work with a lighthouse in San Francisco, which seems to be doing all sorts of projects lately, and which is awesome, to add features to you can trade on their app. They have audio graphs. I'm going to play with this a little bit and see what happens.
I was about to say, I'll get Cena in. He was all about the audio graphs.
Yeah, you know, right. I mean, but the hook of the app outside of accessibility is that trades are free. Usually, if you want to trade on the stock market, you got to pay money to do that. But here it's free. So here's an app that added accessibility features. You said I had not heard of them. And this was the first time I heard of them. And now that I heard of them because of these accessibility features, I'm going to go look at it and play with it. So because they added the accessibility features, it's now caught my interest.
It was shortly after Occupy Wall Street. And, you know, around Wolf of Wall Street, the movie and stuff, I had heard about this particular app and what they were doing. And it was in one of my tech podcasts that it kind of sort of came up. So I had a kind of rough awareness of who they were and what they were. So when I saw this headline come up, I was like, oh, really cool. Yeah, I had my flirtation with stocks in economics class back when I was in high school. I not my thing. I'm not really, maybe bingo was a little bit more safer for me, I think. That might be just as much random
chance. You wonder, though. Stocks is one of those things, and you know, it's numbers. A lot of that is not been. There's been a lot of barriers to entry for blind people. So
you could be a financial analyst. Apparently, the bar is pretty low for that. And
but you know, right? Yeah, try this out. I don't know. Well, of course, be careful with your money. If stocks are certainly not a toy, and any stock app will have this nice big disclaimer
that they have to put on the thing. Plan on wanting to use or ever seeing again and being comfortable with that.
Sure.
You could think of the South Park episode.
Some small $5 stock, you know,
and do something like that. Is a perfect example, and it's gone. But it was just $100. Yep, and it's gone.
And it's gone.
And it's gone. It's a great episode. Available on Hulu. And there are other things you can do, see, or watch while you are waiting for things to arrive in stocks, either positively or negatively. But you could probably spend better time by learning a bunch of stuff about digital accessibility. Now,
and web accessibility, and
I saw this come up during the awareness day. It was a accessibility awareness day. It actually, this news was coming out while we were recording, in fact, and this is kind of cool. So if you're disabled, you can learn more about, well, the burgeoning and ever growing web/app accessibility testing. You know, it used to be assistive technology when I was growing up. Now it's all about testing apps and websites.
There's so much here, though.
I know. There's a ton. This is like Linda for disabled individuals.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is from DQ. Mm-hmm. DQ, however you want to pronounce it.
However you want to pronounce it. You don't want to know what right now NVDA just pronounced it very wrongly for me.
It's Deek, right?
Deek. Was the name of a cartoon company when I was growing up.
So, but lots of things you can learn about this. So, HTML and CSS accessibility, ARIA and JavaScript, mobile accessibility, testing with screen readers, MS Word, PowerPoint, PDF accessibility, design accessibility, EPUB, and more, and several others. So these are all, you just sign up and you get a year of free access as long as you can prove you are disabled. And there's lots of jobs. Like they're saying, I mean, okay. And this is how this always goes. They're being altruistic and they're sharing these courses. I bet you they need to grow their workforce.
Oh, sure.
As well. And they would probably love to hire a few people who've gone through these courses and combine that with other experience. So this could be a great springboard to
a
career.
Google, when you start writing questions about Python in a Google search and then Google notices that you were writing about Python and then you get contacted by a Google representative.
That's happened.
That's how they can hire more people, because hey, we saw that you were very good at this. And, you know, they start watching you read a bunch of stuff and then they give you a call. Hey, how's that working out? Is that working out?
We noticed you got a 97 on this test.
That's very interesting. Ready player one.
There's a lot of need for web accessibility and that's only going to grow. So
look what's happening in Europe right now. There was the mandate that websites in Europe should be accessible. And there was a study that showed that 70% of them are not. So yeah, there's a great need, not just here in the United States, but a worldwide phenomenon. And if you have a secondary language, oh my goodness, that opens up even more doors for you.
Well, this link and all the other links that we've talked about are over at our website at blindbargains.com, where you can learn about all the latest news posted by myself and Scott and everybody else who likes to post things. Of course, if you have news tips, feel free to hit us on Twitter as well, or feedback at blindbargains.com, because sometimes we miss things here and there. So there's, you know, all the latest news right over there at blindbargains.com.
So coming up after a little bit of a musical interlude, we'll have the interview with Guardian Circle creators, and then we will move into a tip, then sound off, and then that thing I talked about last week for Last Word while I brought that over, and we have a bit of other information to add on as well here on Blind Bargains Cast, episode 63.
Welcome back to Blind Bargains Cast number 63, and it's time for the interview portion of this week's podcast, and once again, we are talking about safety. We had an app on a few months ago talking about other ways to contact 911. Well, there's times where you might need some help, but perhaps 911 is going a bit overboard. Mark Jeffrey is the founder of a company called Guardian Circle, and Guardian Circle has introduced a new app for iOS and Android, which can help you, can contact your circle of friends or family in the case of a perhaps a little lesser emergency, but perhaps when you might still need help. So, Mark, welcome to the podcast, and why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you have here.
Hello, and thank you. Yes. So Guardian Circle, it's an app that lets friends, family, and neighbors protect one another. Basic idea is you ask your friends, family, and neighbors to become your guardians, and they do this by also downloading the app and accepting your guardian request, and this is all free. And when you're in trouble, and trouble could be big or small, you press an alert button, and this sends an alert push notification to all of your guardians. When they click through, they are sent to your alert room where you're already waiting for them, where you're alone at first, but not for long, because as your guardians show up...
Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not. They show up on a map, so they all know, everybody knows where everybody else is, and there's a chat room at the bottom where everyone can communicate. And sort of one of the key insights we had is that your guardians and all the people that can help you may not know one another in advance. And when you're in trouble, getting everyone on the same page as quickly as possible and sharing location is extremely important and can cut down on a lot of, hey, what's that guy's name? What's his phone number? How do we get a hold of him? All that stuff goes right away.
So I use one of the examples that you had mentioned on your site or in one of your other interviews. Say you are stuck at work and you realize that you need a ride to get your kid home from school. And, the previous solution would be, you'd call your sister, you'd call your brother, you call your parents, you call your friend, and you do all these different people. Maybe 8 calls later, you get the solution patch where this might be a way to kind of put out that call and see who the first person is that could get at it.
Yeah, exactly. Although you just described a very linear process, which is what you have to do right now without this tool. Another example might be your car broke down and you need jumper cables. So you send out a request alert for somebody with jumper cables. As your guardians respond, suddenly it becomes obvious who is the closest one. And so as your guardians are talking to each other and you, one of your friends says, "Hey, I'm just up the street. I'll come over. I've got jumper cables," and boom, problem solved.
So your guardians are on the map. We'll talk about this in a second. But if I added, say, you and Patrick and Joe all as guardians, but suppose you guys all don't know each other, how much information about each other is shared? Like, does everyone automatically get everybody else's phone number? There's got to be some privacy things going on there, right?
Yeah, they do not get each other's phone number automatically. When one of your guardians answers your alerts, their location is at that point revealed to all the other guardians and to you. When they leave the alert room, their location is again shielded. So it's only during the duration of an alert that location is shared, and at no time is contact information shared.
It's just the location that is shared. Okay.
That's correct.
Now, we'll talk about accessibility here in a second. One of those things, and I know you're looking for feedback on the app and the accessibility of, right now, I'm assuming it's just a visual map, or is there any sort of GPS or other coordinates that are expressed so you can know where other, in text form or some other form where someone might be? Or?
Yeah, at the moment, it is only visual. So what happened with Guardian Circle is in a previous life, I was, or I'm still an author, and I was one of the first people to podcast an audiobook. And as a result, I got a lot of blind followers on Twitter. And we talk now and then, but when we released Guardian Circle and described what it was, a whole bunch of them woke up suddenly and went, "What is this? This looks very useful." and it was just, it was sort of shocking to me. I was like, "Oh, right. Of course." I mean, it was when in retrospect, of course.
You weren't thinking at all.
Right. And it wasn't until they all just sort of screamed in my ear and said, "Hey, dude." So when we initially conceived the app, we did not think about the blind. Since our first release, we very quickly moved as quickly as we could to make it more accessible. And we succeeded at a lot of things. But unfortunately, the map is one of those things. It's going to take a little bit more designed to actually make it accessible in a proper way. And we're thinking about that right now, but we want feedback.
That's not a unique challenge. Any app that has to deal with GPS locations has that same challenge of how do you convey where someone is to other people. And the other thing is, if I have my guardian circle, they're going to know me and hopefully, maybe realize that I'm not gonna be able to see them on the map, or I could, they could maybe say where they're at.
Right.
In the chat window, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone can communicate. Our thoughts for, we're totally open to feedback. By the way, anyone who has feedback@guardiancircle.com, we want it. We want to hear from you. But what we're thinking right now is, I think the higher order bit is who's the closest. So as their names come up in the chat room, it may be good for us to specify how far they are away at the moment that they set that chat.
0.5 like miles away.
Yeah.
Something like that. That should be a pretty easy first step, but it's given because you have their latitude, longitude, and you have yours. So yeah, that seems like it should be something that'd be pretty simple to put in.
Yep.
So talk for a minute about the difference between using this app and calling 911, because that's one of those things, there are obviously certain situations where you need to call 911, but there's others where you feel this is a more appropriate option.
Yeah. Actually, I'm really glad you brought that up. John Oliver just last week did a bit on 911. And sort of the harder bit is they don't know where you are when you call 911. They have no idea of your location. And that situation is not going to change for at least 6 years. And go watch the John Oliver piece for why.
There's people working on that problem, and that's we've talked about that a little bit before, but it's very hit and miss at the moment.
It is. So, and on top of that, you know, you're in a lot of cases, and we would even say most cases, your network is closer and can help you faster. And they can help you with a wider variety of situations and emergencies for which you never would call 911. So, and especially in, you know, in certain areas of the world, there is no 911 or the 911 is very unreliable. So in a lot of the world, we may be the only option.
Right. So that's, you know, we always think that we're so U.S. centric, but especially if you're traveling internationally or for our international listeners, I don't want to have to think about what's the emergency dial-in number for this country. I might have no idea what that is.
Yeah. And I can tell you, there's one story. We're actually speaking with the XPRIZE people about a situation in India. You've probably heard that rape is a big problem in India.
Yeah.
It's an even bigger problem than you think, because when you call the cops after you've been raped, the cops will come and possibly rape you as well. It happens very frequently.
Wow.
So the answer is not more cops. So the XPRIZE Foundation basically said, you know, so what can we do? And where they got to was, well, it's probably some sort of buddy system, and it probably involves the phones and some sort of peer-to-peer protection. So that's why they contacted us.
So at this point, you have one circle, right? You couldn't necessarily have different circles for different types of needs, or is that how that works?
Not yet. Not yet. We will. That's something coming in the future. You do have two circles, though, in this sense. When you ask, just because I'm guarding you doesn't mean necessarily that you're guarding me. So the ritual of a guardian ask is something we wanted to make, you know, a thing. So you thought about it, and it just wasn't assumed to be bidirectional. So there are essentially two groups right now.
Which makes sense, because you wouldn't, I mean, there are certain situations where one would guard the other, but perhaps it wouldn't be appropriate the other way around. So
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
We will include a way for people to subgroup in the future. We just want to be very careful about how we do it. If you were watching Google Circles or Google Plus, and the whole Circles thing was a mess. Nobody used it. Nobody understood
these
it.
Circles crossing over each other, and
it was insane.
Yeah, nope. I mean, and that's the thing. When you're adding all these features to an app, there's always a danger of how do you know, doing it in a way that adds value without being too confusing or crazy.
Yeah. So the last thing we want to do is add a feature, and then everyone hates us because they're confused. So when we do it, we will do it in a very careful and considered way.
Have you heard from any blind or visually impaired users about specific use cases that you might be unique to a blind person, such as I need someone to, you know, read me my mail? What could one of you do? A type of thing. I don't know. Has anything like that come up yet? Or
there was one person who described an incident that happened to them where they said they could have used Guardian Circle, and they basically got lost walking and they didn't know where they were. And I don't know that we'd be the only answer to that, but certainly they were like, hey, I don't know where I am. Somebody's got to come get me. And that was the use case they came up with. So
interesting. Yeah, I mean, and you could see their GPS coordinates. Is there any link? You're in the chat, which I'm assuming is text. Is there any voice or video option from that? Or
there isn't yet. That's, again, something we're working on. But yeah, I should probably mention the app itself is about 8 weeks old at this point.
Yeah.
We launched it at the Launch Festival, which is the world's largest startup event in Silicon Valley every year. There's like 50 companies that compete, get on stage and pitch, and 8 companies win, and we were one of the winners. So,
that's awesome.
But which is great. But that said, we're 8 weeks old. So
but already on iOS and Android at this point.
Yeah.
Granted, I mean, they both seem to be kind of web wrapper type apps at the moment, but they're there.
That's exactly, you got it exactly right. They are web apps.
At the moment. Is it going to always be that way, or is it going to try to go more native at some point?
We're looking at the options right now. You mentioned the microphones and the videos. Within a web app, especially on iOS, it's difficult to get at those devices. Apple does not really let you touch things from inside of a browser in the same way you can from a native app. So before we take that step, we would have to at least have a native component to what we're doing, and right now we don't.
Sure.
But we will. We will down the road very soon.
Speaking of getting at the app and accessing it quickly, of course, you can do widgets on Android, and there are some ways to do it on iOS as well. Have you looked at ways for people to quickly access the app in a way that's only one or two taps, as opposed to trying to, you know, thumb through a whole bunch of pages, and, you know, by the time you do it, it might be too late?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. I think that, so right now, as you say, you have to open the app and you have to tap the alert button. So it's a couple, you know, a couple taps to actually get there. And that's a problem, obviously, if you're, you know, if you're in a very quick tap kind of emergency situation where you're being attacked or something like that. What we did is the hard part, which is organize the response and create the Guardian network and provide a way for that response to assemble itself like a flash mob very quickly. The easier part is doing what you just said, hooking in other devices as the alerting mechanism, right? Once you get that piece set up. So, in fact, the XPRIZE Foundation has talked to us about a little device you wear around your neck that's got 3G built into it and a microphone and a button, and you just tap it and then you start speaking into the air. And even though you can't see your own alert room, everyone else, your guardian, on their phones will enter the alert room and be able to see where they're at, where you're at, and where each other are, and respond. And you don't even have to have a phone on you, and you just have that one right. button click. Other things we've talked about are when you can set up alarms so that, you know, say you have an Apple Watch, and say you strap it on to Grandpa because he tends to wander off the reservation. When he breaks a geofence, the alert goes off. If he falls, the alert goes off. If it detects an irregular heartbeat, the alert goes off. All kinds of things like that.
Which is really cool. Really, I mean, obviously you have some issues as far as making sure the thing is actually charged. But other than that, I mean, that's kind of how technology goes as far as these type of things. I noticed, and I always wonder how these things are going to be viable financially. I noticed you have a gold plan for $99.
Well, that's not been released yet.
Okay.
So that's something we've talked about on stage, so it is public knowledge.
Yeah, it was. I got it from an article. I didn't just. It was on TechCrunch. Yeah. One of those articles had it. I didn't just make it up.
No, and to be fair, I didn't just make it up on stage either at launch, which is what they're quoting. So we're looking at a lot of different things, but one of our core theses is, if you look at you of course have heard of the I've fallen and can't get up market of devices that you plug into a landline at your home, right? And bottom line is they're all charging like $30 a month. It's antiquated. It's terrible and old, and costs $360 a year. If you multiply out that $30 price, and that there's about 20 companies, and they're all making about $54 million a year. So in aggregate, call it a $1 billion market.
Yep.
And it's rotting. So we think there's actually a large opportunity to disrupt that market by allowing people or providing Guardian Circle as it exists, the peer-to-peer protection for free. And if you want the best possible protection, $50 a year for Guardian Circle Gold, we'll have operators that are standing by that will always enter your emergency class alert and be clever about how they respond. So instead of calling 911 on your behalf, even though that would be good because we know your location and they don't, we might notice that there's an Uber a block away from you and tell you, hey, go out front. We're going to send an Uber over to get you right now. So I think we could be a lot more clever than sort of the existing alert systems, by doing stuff in a very sort of web or mobile app modern kind of way, as opposed to, you know, the way governments have built antiquated systems over decades.
Yeah, 911, the way it is set up as a model, it's very formulaic. I mean, you mentioned the Uber example. I've actually thought of that before. It's like, you know what? There's some situations where if I need to get to the hospital, but I'm conscious, I'm not, you know, going to die in the next 5 minutes. Sometimes it'd be quicker and cheaper ultimately for me to call an Uber and have them send forever than it would be to call an ambulance, which is going to cost thousands of dollars in a lot of cases.
Right. It's good. Actually, that's interesting you bring that up because, a lot of times you call an ambulance, all of a sudden you owe $20,000. And a lot of people know that. And a lot of people, they think about that. Even if they're like having a heart attack or something, they're like, well, shoot, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't call because it's going to cost a lot of money. And damn, it puts people's lives in danger. So, you know, also you have the trip of the ambulance to your location. If you can just get rid of half of the travel time, that can save your life potentially, depending on the situation. So, yeah, I think we could be a lot smarter about this by sort of dynamically assembling help with an intelligence grid of who and what equipment is where near you at the moment you need it.
So you're on iOS and Android at the moment, and obviously so you're definitely looking for feedback, especially from people who are using accessibility technology. So in this either what is, you know, as far as accessibility or everything else, sounds like you just have a pretty open book as far as how you might treat safety and the ways you could go with the app. So we'll go ahead and give people a little bit more how they can contact you, all the different ways and or what you prefer. And
Yeah, sure. Feedback@guardiancircle.com. And our website is, of course, guardiancircle.com. And you can find us in both iTunes and the Android Play App Store.
And the app is free. And other than, I mean, the potential future thing, but the basic part's always going to be free, right? And the sign up
yes,
and all
the
that.
Yes, the basic part will always be free.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark, for coming on. I really appreciate you talking to us about the app. And we'll definitely see what our listeners think, and we'll let you know.
Thank you for having me.
A new version of MPDA was just announced, and we've been playing with it, and some pretty cool features in it. Well, one of the new features is an alert that will let you know when you type in words incorrectly, you spell them incorrectly, it'll actually make a sound right away. It's a really cool feature, but one you may want to turn on or off. So let's just show you how the new feature works. I'm going to go into Microsoft Word.
Run dialog type select. Desktop list, Winamp 4 of 9.
Win
document
Word.
1, Microsoft Word. Document 1, Microsoft Word document edit multi-line. Page 1 style normal blank.
I did Windows R and typed in WinWord. That's how I get there quickly. So now I'm going to type in a sentence.
This is a demonstration.
Uh-oh. I think it's supposed to be demonstration. You hear that little buzzer sound? Well, that told me the word I just typed was misspelled. I can go back to it.
Spelling error demonstration. Demonstration.
And I can right-click or press Shift F10 to hear the proper spelling suggestions here.
Demonstrator. Demonstration.
Demonstration is what I want.
Document 1 Microsoft Word.
And now we have...
This is a demonstration.
Well, maybe you don't want to have that feature on. Well, here's how you do that. Go to the NVDA menu, which is Insert or Caps Lock and N.
NVDA menu.
Preferences.
Preferences submenu P. General settings G.
Press right arrow, go down to keyboard.
Synth voice set, braille setting, keyboard settings K.
And press enter.
Keyboard settings dialog, keyboard layout, combo box laptop, use caps lock as an NVDA modifier, key checkbox check.
And I'm tabbing through these options until we get to...
Use numpad insert as an N, use extended insert as speak type character, speak type words, speech interrupt for type character, speech interrupt for allows him reading and say, beep if typing lowercase letter, speak command keys, play sound for spelling errors while typing checkbox check alt plus S.
Ah, play sound for spelling errors. Actually, it's one of the last options. It might have been quicker to shift tab to that. But at any rate, we're going to press spacebar.
Not checked.
Now it's unchecked.
Handle keys from other application, OK button.
And we go to OK. And...
Document 1 Microsoft Word. Document
there we
one.
Go. Now, if I type in a word, it won't beep at me. So, of course, that's an option you can set per application by using NVDA's profile feature, which maybe we'll demonstrate some other time. So, yeah, this is the latest version of NVDA 2016.2. It's in release candidate right now, meaning it's about to be released. You can go play with it now, or you can get the final release when it comes out in a few days. Send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Well, thank you, Mr. JJ, for that tip. That was informative, and so was the interview with Mr. Jeffrey. That is a great thing. Be sure to involve yourself in accessibility. Whenever we have an app developer on who says, you know, come on and send it through, man, don't hold back. Go for it. That is always one of the coolest things we get to hear when we bring someone on in front of our microphones to be able to tell you about new apps and things that are fantastic, such as the case of Windows 10. Well, okay, maybe not necessarily for John Wesley Smith, who wrote in to tell us that he was one of those very people that we had talked about last week who woke up one day and went, surprise, Windows 10 is an automatic update. And he did play with it for a little bit and is not going to roll back. But was kind of disconcerted at first. And some people have actually said that this was a sneaky trick by Microsoft. I saw some people saying that this week on Reddit and some other places. I don't think so. I think Microsoft is kind of trying to be as cool and as awesome as they possibly could about this, but making it an automatic and an update that is recommended probably is what got people more than anything else.
Yeah.
And changed it to important. And important updates get updated no matter what.
I mean, so iOS 9.3 point whatever it is, I mean, it doesn't do it automatically. It'll keep popping up every day until I say I'm going to do it.
Yep.
But it's not automatic. Now, on the other the flip of that, if you have a Chromebook, because we all do, those is update. And they don't really do versions, and you know, you'd be hard pressed to find anybody except a true geek that could tell you that the current version of Chrome is what 50 or whatever. Other than that, they just update. So there's the flip sides of that, but you know, this is a little bit different than that.
With that, there's a little bit of a false trust going on with, say, iOS updates, as some brand new iPad Pro 9.7 users found out as it was bricking some units, and they had to halt that temporarily. So there is good and bad depending on your ecosystem. Again, I think if you had a screen reader or screen magnifier that required a paid update and you woke up and there was Windows 10 and you couldn't use your AT.
You couldn't do anything.
That's not good. Guess I'll break out my mobile, hopefully, if I have one, and start looking up how to use Narrator rather quickly to roll back. You know,
yep.
That's the thing.
It is from 7 to 10 especially is a huge jump, and to push it on someone without them at least clicking yes is probably a little bit overboard.
Yeah, we're by no means trying to make fun of the situation or make it an understatement. It is very horrific for those who are not prepared. And that's what we were talking about last year when we were doing Windows 10 shows. Some people were saying, it's not going to be that bad. Yeah, it is. For some people, it's going to be really horrific. Some of those people were talking on Twitter last week, and I did my very best not to send little emoticons back to others who might have said nasty things about Windows 10 shows last year. But, you know, hey, what can I say? Sometimes my crystal ball, totally clear. Other times, like my cataract that was removed, totally cloudy. We have some other information here. We got a great email here. Louis sends us an amazing email. Louis is a good friend of ours. I called him Louis. Oh, God, I'll never hear the end of that. Blind educator on Twitter. Louis sends us a great big email about Uber and Lyft and some of the experiences he has had with Uber Assist, and that he's talked to drivers. And remember, this is totally anecdotal, that the system is not getting used enough. So it's kind of a catch-22. Do we want something that is specifically for us? Do we want something that's mainstream, that is more accessible for us? And if it is being done, if it is available, are we going to use it?
Well, there's a few things here. First of all, Uber Assist in some cities, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think costs more than regular Uber. And I might be wrong about that. And Uber's done different implementations in different cities. But a guide dog user especially should not have to request a special type of Uber just so they can have a driver who understands how to handle a guide dog. And as a blind person, without a guide dog, would I ever use Uber Assist? Hell no, because I have no reason to. I don't need any extra accommodations to get into a car. I understand for wheelchair users, that's a great service. Huge. It probably needs to be promoted more in that arena. But I don't feel obligated as a person with a disability that has nothing to do with getting in and out of a vehicle to use any sort of specialized service. So, yeah, I absolutely do disagree with you on this. But I'm sure there are cases where, you know, I'm sure Uber Assist can be promoted a little bit better. But
Uber,
you
know. as my Android phone says, I use Uber and Lyft constantly. It is a lifeline to Ricky and I. We depend on it for a lot of our travel. It is interesting sometimes that I will get a text from some vehicles to let me know that they are service animal and wheelchair friendly. That's kind of neat to see. And I'm glad it's there for those individuals because I don't necessarily have to take advantage of it. I can understand this in both situations, but it comes a long ways to a lot of things, not just Uber and Lyft. Hear me out. We talked about audio description on Apple last week, and I'm glad it was there. And I rented a movie with audio description just to make sure that it flips a flag for Apple to make sure that they continue doing that. I appreciate that. Same thing with Netflix. There are legal ways for us to obtain audio description. I want to support those rather than have it pointed down the barrel of a gun with lawsuits or what have you. I want to be a consumer of those services. With that said, I can understand that some would feel more comfortable being in a situation where they don't have to explain their blindness or they don't have to be a good ambassador, as people have heard me say on other podcasts before, for the blind community. I don't have to be quote unquote on, right? So for some people, paratransit is a comfortable means for them, or maybe Uber Assist could be a comfortable means for them. I'm with you. I don't necessarily feel like I need it. Maybe what Lyft is doing, they just announced before recording that you could schedule a ride up to 24 hours in advance. Perhaps there's a checkbox there so you could specifically get a car that would meet your needs. That would be kind of neat, and that would alleviate some of these issues possibly.
Sure.
Rather than having someone cancel out on you just like cabs do. Well, no dog, you know, and drive off.
It's all very experimental at this point, and I don't know. I've seen two or three different moves. There was the Uber Assist and there's the Uber the Wave or whatever, I think is what the other one was called. Yeah. So there's even not even consistent implementations across cities. So,
and each city is fighting their own battles. Like there were wonderful articles that came out the weekend after Uber and Lyft were kind of ushered out of Austin. There were some others that tried to start up and they were just not to the level of what people were expecting for in ride hailing apps. And a lot of people who don't keep up with it were stranded. They would travel out from, you know, say Round Rock or Pflugerville and then end up downtown and then not have a way back home because they didn't know. Because you can actually travel in with Uber or Lyft, but you can't necessarily catch a Uber or Lyft to get out. So that's kind of disconcerting. So in a lot of ways, there's that city in Florida that we've highlighted before in the show that's going to consider that for their paratransit needs. I don't know. It's still new and it's still interesting. It's still very new.
Yeah, it seems like it's been around for a little while, but there's still a lot to go on. By the way, you did mention the Apple audio description thing. Uh-huh. And there was another email there. I think that was also from Luis about just quickly mentioning that when they purchased an audio described movie, then if they had the setting on in accessibility, they would get the descriptor track. And if they didn't, they wouldn't. So it sounded like you could purchase one copy of the movie. Yes.
And you actually can do like on the Apple TV, you can swipe down, go to info, and like on Netflix, you'll see two audio tracks there, audio English and audio English audio description. So I did that we were specifically looking for that to kind of do that. We rented so Ender's Game.
Yeah. You don't have to buy one or the other and then be stuck with it.
Yeah. We rented Ender's Game and the mix on it was such that I had to turn dynamic range off because the audio description was 5 times louder than the actual soundtrack of the film. And turning off dynamic range and trying to level out the sounds gave it a kind of wonky sound, but at least we could have audio of the movie alongside the audio description. So it was kind of mixed at the right level. Just, you know, it's an older film. Yeah. I'm not sure that all of them would be like that. Just something that we noticed when we decided to rent something last weekend.
Speaking of wonky sounds, you've been on this music kick lately.
Yeah.
And we have another major minor key thing going on here in the last word.
Well, before we get to that real quick, I want to throw down this email from Steve Patterson who recommended a podcast.
Yeah, I can't read.
That's okay.
Oh, you skipped past it. You came back to it. You know, you missed it.
Well, I came back to it because I did write back to Steve and told him that we were going to use it in the lineup. So I'd feel really bad if we didn't. So
when use it,
he recommends, a podcast that was based along the lines of political, and it's from Australia, from ABC, you know, the Australian Broadcasting Company. So definitely hit up the show link there and see what he is talking about if you're interested.
The DC Wash-Up.
Yeah.
It's Australian is talking about American politics, which sounds, I don't know, either interesting or comical. I'd have to see what color that goes.
Well, you know, we talk about being American-centric and, you know, we live in America. It's interesting to hear what other people have to say about America from outside America. So the Australian Broadcasting Company seems to be doing that. And he thought it was really neat because we mentioned ABC before in that kind of an
echo. We'll
thank you, Steve, for that. Appreciate that. Now,
awesome. And now we've opened the floodgates on podcast recommendations and we'll see how many we get next week.
Well, no, you know, that was very, very polite and they can go right there in sound.
There you go.
That's the perfect place for those.
That's wonky.
I did mention Pink Panther last week in Last Word, and I found that link and threw it right here. Patrick, this is a good place to put Pink Panther in a major key. I said it was in a minor key last week, but I went back and actually listened to the doggone thing.
Yeah, because
it wasn't a minor key before. You're right.
It certainly, this is not. This is a little bit different.
This is Henry Mancini on Downers, and kind of apropos because the actor who played Kato in the Pink Panther movies just passed away in his 80s.
Then why would you want it in a major key? Usually if someone's passing away, it's supposed to be sad.
I need Pink Panther as a funeral dirge. Well, again, this is not the thing that I brought for this week. This is just that I mentioned this last week, so it seemed apropos to throw it right here. Now, the one that I did bring was for you, and it's kind of cross here. It's a SpongeBob Kanye style.
Wait, just play this.
I miss the old Kanye, straight from the gold Kanye. I miss the old Kanye. I miss the old Kanye, shape up the gold Kanye, chop up the soul Kanye, set on his goals Kanye. I hate the new Kanye, the bad mood Kanye, the always rude Kanye, spazzing the news Kanye. I miss the sweet Kanye, chop up the beast Kanye. I gotta say, at that time I'd like to meet Kanye. See, I was any Kanye, it wasn't any Kanye. And now I look around and it's so many Kanye. I used to love Kanye.
Yeah. So the internet is full of amazing things, and that might be considered one of them. Maybe, possibly. Although I like last week's way more. Sound of Smash Mouth is way crazier.
It's proof to what happens. Just give anybody a YouTube. That's an interesting impression of Kanye there.
Isn't it, though? That's why I was kind of like...
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was not what I expected when I saw that link go flying by. And I went, this is just silly enough. I should listen to it. Maybe it's show worthy. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's kind of
cool. We don't even need to spend 20 minutes on it. We just, the clip pretty much
speaks for itself.
What else? There's nothing else to say.
No, not at all. Other than your contribution this week.
Actually, a little bit, though, we talked a little bit about fake service animals and things like that. So one lady who is blind and also in a wheelchair in the UK has Pickles the guide cat.
Huh.
Yeah. But first of all, don't even get me started on the word guide cat, because it doesn't really guide her anyway. I guess it guides her to her phone, among other things. She says she can train her cat to, when the phone rings, the cat will go find the phone and start making noise.
Oh,
so you can... Because you couldn't hear the phone, I guess, in the first place. Wouldn't you just listen for the sound of the
phone? Listen for the purr?
If it fetched the phone, I mean, it
will also... Yeah, that would be different.
That would be amazing, because
cats fetching is kind of weird.
That'd be kind of, a lot of slobber on that when it gets to you. Pickles can detect seizures and things like that, which is cool. But I think the term guide cat might be a little
Wasn't overboard. It RNIB who did guide cats for the blind? It was like an April Fool's joke years ago.
That's what happens with these April Fool's jokes, man. You got to be careful what you wish for.
Guide cats for the blind, and then Google Cardboard. There's a perfect example. Then that happened. yeah, I guess that is unique and interesting. If she could only meet the cat with the loudest purr from last year. Remember that loud? Yeah, that cat with the giant purr. That was also the UK.
Then you could, the cat could definitely alert you of things.
Right, and then they could listen to the music for cats, which was also a last word from, I'm starting to detect a trend.
It's back to cats. You know what? I wasn't even thinking of this. I did not even think of this as a cat story.
It's always about cats.
Always cats.
Always cats.
Can't think of it. All right. You know what? Join us next week for BBQ64 when we're going to have a story about bacon.
Yeah, exactly. just to make sure that we have all the internet meme covered. I'm sure 64K of RAM next week. That's all you need.
That'll be enough for everyone on that 640K.
Thanks to Guardian Circle, Mark, for coming in and talking about the app. Definitely get involved in that. That is an awesome thing to be using for those of you who want to stay in touch with your family. I think some of the use cases of elderly parents and stuff is a great one. Also, thank you to all of our contributors, Scott, for writing some wonderful stuff. Also, our feedback peoples and the amazing Patrick, who's shown up once or twice in this particular episode.
That happens.
It does.
Can't avoid him. He's just there.
I wouldn't think of doing podcasting without him. Would feel very weird and strange.
Is there a wedding date yet?
There is not. It'll happen before it doesn't, but that's about all I can tell you.
That happened almost.
It'll happen before it doesn't.
Okay. There you go. That's good.
Don't put that cart before the horse. Trust me.
No rush. Yeah. I wasn't trying to rush you at all. It's,
Gonna get more secret hymns or something, you know.
I was more curious if he was listening to us right now.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, I am.
Registered at Fine Bargains and AT Guys. See, there we go. There's another registry. There, we're set. Found a way to monetize you into the podcast finally.
Cool. So I want like six of those home switch things. Let's
okay. $300. We'll do it.
Yeah, cool.
Send it right over to you. Somebody, by the way, and don't tune out, and if you guys tune out right at the disclaimer, don't, because somebody made a comment about you apparently had fun. Sometimes you have fun with the very, very end of the podcast, and you you did the thing with the
sometimes
copy.
Sometimes I don't.
To be it was fair, the man has to hear our voices sometimes.
Oh, no, I wasn't complaining.
End,
so I was saying that one of our listeners noticed it. Ah. And it was like copyright 2015. Oh.
Well, that's the thing. And you know, the thing that's funny is I actually put that in by accident. I used it in January for the first 2016 show. And when I did that show that it appeared in again, I was kind of in a hurry and I just threw that file in there and didn't realize it until after.
It was there
it.
Again.
Yeah.
And nobody noticed it, including myself the first time.
Well, somebody eventually did, I guess.
But then the second time you put it in, it got noticed.
Now, so we did have an audio flub slide through a couple of weeks ago, and good night almighty did you people let us know that we had let that slide through. Thank you. That was amazing.
Yeah, it's too bad nobody actually told me that was there before it went out, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, it was funny how that one happened, wasn't it?
Just, yeah. We were sleeping.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was probably, I was busy one. Out, you know.
You know what's funny is that Lisa still like reviews them like she used to in the old days, and she was one of the first people to message me.
She realized we're not paying her?
I know. I was like, man, I think you have access to that folder. If you want to listen, that's totally fine.
Oh,
Patrick, Jay, and I have already heard each other. We're good.
Yeah.
We're
totally there you go. Yeah.
Nah, totally good.
Apparently, you need a nonpartisan third party.
Yeah, yeah.
To make sure the stuff actually works.
Unbiased, innocent bystander.
Yeah, one of those.
I had one of those. Now I'm dating her.
That works.
So if that's you, yeah. And you want to become an innocent bystander, no, feedback at blindbargains.com is how you contact us. Twitter.com/blindbargains at blindbargains on Twitter.
I like the way
you can also get AT Guys stuff at atguys.com, or you can call 269-216-4798.
When you're not reading blindbargains.com, you can sometimes catch some of the stories that land there by following me on Twitter. I am Ranger Station, all one word, twitter.com/RangerStation. Lately, talking a lot about Lego Dimensions, because that's what I'm playing around with Kyle here lately, is Lego Dimensions. Those things are getting really cheap and fun to put together, and kind of neat to play on the video game. So you'll see a lot of stuff about science fiction and occasionally blindness stuff. More than there likely. Yeah, it does happen from time to time. Yeah, so definitely do that. Also, remember, you can tweet us over at blindbargains.com if you think of anything, and write us a feedback at blindbargains.com if you have submissions or otherwise. We've been a little lax on replying back to emails, so if you have written us, you will see a bit of a response over the next coming week or so as we get back into the swing of things before pre-convention begins.
Yes. It's all thanks for the reminder. Starting to get ready for it.
I know.
I'm done traveling. That's it, though. All these shows. It was fun. We were in Chicago last week. I did the show from there. That was a lot of fun. Cool to see many of you over at Blast. And there isn't much else coming up for me, but Joan and I will be at respective commitments.
Lots of grilling.
Get that eye grill. There you go. So, yeah,
perfect time.
That's going to do it, folks. There you go. That's going to do it, folks. We'll see you all next week.
Later days.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.